What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm JR, and you're listening to You and Who Talking.
For the last time in 2017, JR.
Yeah, this is the episode that's going to go out between Christmas and New Year, although I guess some of the people listening will be listening to it in 2018, but nevertheless, this is the one that brings our first year to an end.
Yes, if you've built up a backlog, hello, how's January going, or February, or wherever you might be? But for us, it is coming up to New Year's Eve, which is very exciting.
Yeah, actually, and speaking of building up a backlog and listening to these in January or February, well, that brings up something else that we were going to talk about. We might as well do it now. You and Who Talking is going to be taking a bit of a break in the new year, for various reasons, one of which is, for now, we've run out of essays, although there are plenty more, I'm sure, that can come in, so we'll start chasing a few people up for when we start again. Also, you've got some stuff coming up, and I don't want to spoil it, but you're going to be rather busy for the next few weeks, so taking this off your plate, because you are the one who edits this, taking this off your plate will free you up to do some of the other things you've got going on.
Yeah, look, I really appreciate that, and I am looking forward to getting back to some more You and Who Talking in the new year. But yes, there are a few things happening very early in the new year that might excite some listeners, actually.
Yeah, and these are all going to be on the Doctor Who Show feed, obviously. Oh, I imagine so. I've not asked you what the things are.
Yeah, some of them will be, some of them won't be.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, obviously, people who follow this feed and follow you will find out what they are in due course. But indeed, it's all going to be a mystery for now, to me and to everybody else.
Yes. Maybe I'll tell you after we stop recording.
Oh, you naughty boy. Now the listeners are going to be saying, well, why couldn't we hear that too? But never mind.
Who have we got this week, JR?
Well, I was just going to say, so we'll be back then, who knows, maybe around Easter, maybe a bit before or a bit after, but once you get through your busy period and we've built up some essays, in a few weeks we'll be back. Yeah. This week we've got John G. Wood, who was writing for the very first You and Who book. So this isn't an essay that's tied into a particular story or a particular TV series or something else. But this is, and I think it's nice to finish on this one before the new year, for two reasons. One, it's his history of him and Doctor Who, and that's kind of where the You and Who series came in. So it's kind of fitting to be going out on that one. And another one is, because he's giving his history of Doctor Who, and because he has children and he watches Doctor Who with his children, he also, and not to spoil it too much, talks about watching Doctor Who through the eyes of his children, seeing it afresh with his own kids. And I think that's a lovely place to finish on for now.
Yeah. Now, that's really nice. One of my, not one of my regrets in life, but certainly sometimes I sit back and think, gosh, if I had kids, would I sit down and watch Doctor Who with them? Oh, of course I bloody well would.
Yeah, damn straight.
How exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
I might have to go and kidnap some.
Yeah, it's a lovely... you might have to steal somebody else's.
Yeah. Or just borrow them for the afternoon. Here, kids, let's watch Doctor Who.
Oh, well, plenty of people do that.
Yeah, true.
But it's a lovely way to bring the whole thing full circle, to go an essay that goes from when you're a kid yourself to when you're watching it with your own kids. It's sort of a metaphor for just life, I suppose. Anyway, we should let him get on and tell his story. And in the meantime, all that remains for us to do is say we'll see you again in a little while. And meanwhile, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, happy new year, everybody. 30-something episodes of You and Who Talking in the can. I'm sure we can hit 50 pretty soon in the new year from, you know, Easter onwards.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we've got a brand new woman doctor to look forward to.
Indeed. Oh, the news we'll hear next year. Stories from the set. All sorts of stuff.
2018 is going to be an interesting and exciting year.
It's all changing again.
Yeah, it certainly is. Can't wait. Right, let's let John get on and tell his story.
Yes, we'll stop waffling. Here's John.
There are those for whom love is forever, a pure, steadfast devotion that lasts two lifetimes. And there are those for whom it is a fiery passion that burns fiercely, consuming its participants and then falling swiftly into ashes. But this is not an either-or choice. And some, like Burton and Taylor, treat it as a river to be visited. Sometimes they will drink deep of its waters or luxuriate in its gentle embrace, but at other times they will wander far abroad. My relationship with Who began when I was 3 years old, and metaphors of romance were far from my mind. My father had enjoyed the show since its beginnings, and at some point during the fifth season he judged me ready to watch. I don't know exactly when I first dipped my toe in the water. I have no memory of the Cybermen, but I certainly remember the Yeti, and I think I remember the Ice Warriors. There was something about the show that made me nervous, but I was intrigued and kept watching. Then, less than a year later, I stopped. It was the phone that did it, specifically a cliffhanger with foam pouring down on one of the heroes, almost certainly during a story called Fury from the Deep, although I've had to deduce this since there are so many missing episodes from this time. Sophisticated children of the 21st century may laugh, but this was enough for me. It was officially too scary. My first fling was over. And yet, something remained. A spark had been kindled. I treasured my copy of The Dalek World. I recognised with fondness images of the monsters when I saw them around and about. I never returned to Patrick Troughton, but when the Doctor came back with a new face in 1970, I was there waiting for him. John Pertwee was my Doctor. I stuck with him through many changes, including the coming of colour, which arrived in our house a couple of years later. With no videos, I hated it when we were away and had to miss an episode. Fortunately, it didn't happen often. In 1973, I got the Radio Times 10th anniversary book and determined to make myself a Dalek. But we had neither the skill nor the money to make it happen. I kept the book, though, until it eventually fell apart. 1974 came, the Doctor regenerated again, and Pertwee was gone, replaced by Tom Baker. It wasn't my Doctor anymore. But the stories were so good they kept me enthralled. There was a darker tone that suited my secondary school self, particularly as my father's health was starting to decline. It wasn't all about the grimness, though, and I could still badger my parents into eating more Weetabix than they could manage just so I could get the promo figures. A particularly unfair move, since I refused to eat it myself. A few years passed, and along came the original Star Wars. By this time I was developing into a somewhat withdrawn teenager, and it held no interest for me despite the enthusiasm of my peers. I never went to see it. I was reading more science fiction than ever, but on the screen it was just Who, and that was holding my interest by a thread. In season 15, the thread snapped. I remember enjoying Horror of Fang Rock, but after that, something seemed lacking. At the time, I didn't know anything about changes in the production team. I just thought I'd outgrown the show. I quit. The time for that sort of romance had passed. Life went on. My father died, I left school and went to university, got a job, moved in with the woman who would later become my wife. For more than a decade, I watched almost no SF on TV, the exceptions being darker shows like Blake 7 and films like Silent Running. I was seen as a sci-fi geek, so many people assumed I'd seen more than I had. When Star Trek The Next Generation reached British shores, my friends suggested I watch it, but I couldn't be bothered. I finally caught one episode of Series 2, which confirmed my opinion that it was rubbish. Nearly a year later, they persuaded me to try again, and finally, I was into a science fiction show again. My Star Trek infatuation lasted only as long as TNG, but by the time it ended, there were other shows holding my attention, notably The X-Files, I lasted 6 seasons, and Babylon 5, as long as it was around, and it left me wanting more. By the time the Doctor Who TV movie was announced, I was ready to be wowed again. Unfortunately, I wasn't. Paul McGann was good, but the plot seemed paper thin. I was wanting something that would affect me in the same way earlier Who had caught my childhood imagination, and I hadn't yet figured out that it wasn't possible for my more cynical, critical 30-something self. Apparently it was a love that couldn't be rekindled. Life moved on again. Children came and took up most of my free time. We moved house. I prioritised my writing over passive entertainment. Things were still whirring in 2005, and we didn't have a TV in the house. I wasn't more than vaguely aware that Doctor Who was returning. The new Series 1 came and went, and I didn't even notice. Fast forward to Christmas that year at my wife's father's cottage. He had a telly, and there it was in the Radio Times, Doctor Who, The Christmas Invasion. What the heck, I thought. Why not indulge in a bit of nostalgia, a dinner date for old time's sake? What harm could it do? I'd reckoned without a 3-year-old son and 5-year-old daughter. Both were intrigued, both wanted to watch, both found the need to go out into the hall or sometimes along to the bathroom because it was so scary. At first I was irritated that I was missing it. Then I remembered my own reaction to Patrick Troughton's stories. A bit of counselling and they came back to watch, sometimes from behind the door, sometimes snuggled in. And despite 2/3 of my attention being on them, I found myself unreservedly enjoying Who for the first time since 1977. My critical mind picked at the story, but I was able to keep that criticism separate and enjoy the programme for what it was. I was a Whovie again. I made sure we had a TV by Easter, and being no longer stuck in an era when missing a programme on broadcast in all likelihood meant missing it forever, I started collecting DVDs of older stories, including Christopher Eccleston's. And you know what? The magic can be rekindled. I am currently as obsessed with Who as I was when I was 10, and this time I have children who are just in love with the show. When my daughter saved up for nearly 4 months to get a radio-controlled canine, I was proud. And when my son announced that he wanted to build a proper life-size Dalek and that he didn't mind if it took years to do and we put almost all his Christmas and birthday money towards it, I almost cried. The three of us spent some time yesterday hacksawing lengths of aerial mast for the gun, the telescopic arm, and the eye stalk. I am not a practical man, but some things are worth learning new skills for. So, will this refound love last? Who can tell? There's one thing I can be sure of, though. I may wander, but I will always come back. One final observation. In the early years of the 20th century, the term science fiction hadn't yet become popular. Stories were called by another name, scientific romances. Good name. I wrote that when I was 47 years old, and amusingly enough, I listed my favourite Doctor as John Pertwee, Tom Baker or Christopher Eccleston, depending on mood. It's quite fitting, I think. I was listing my favourite Doctors to someone recently, and I listed them as William Hartnell, Christopher Eccleston and Peter Capaldi. So I'm just as fickle as I ever was.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.